Welcome back to Bull Droppings. I'm Josh McSwain, here with my co-host, AJ Torres. And today, like the Big Tuna said, you are what your record says you are, so we're a first-place team, folks. Right now, we are 1-0. We are the only team in our division that can say that. I definitely thought that the Texans would win. I picked this on the show last week. I didn't quite see it happening exactly as it did, though. Thought this would be a bit closer of a game. But hey, winning comfortably, never a problem with that. So we're going to break it all down and look ahead to this week's game against the Browns. So the biggest thing that came out of this, and this was something I thought was going to happen, was that the run game would make a pretty decent impact, and Mark Ingram found the end zone. I'm not surprised by that. So, all in all, I thought just the NFL experience that the Texans had with their coaching staff would be able to overcome the Meyer and Lawrence connection, both of whom were in their first NFL games. And it really seemed to. Just seemed like the Texans were more prepared on Sunday. Would you agree with that?
I mean, if you think about it cut and dry, think about it in this regard. They just came out on all cylinders. I mean, everyone said that, hey, Tyrod Taylor, this is a bridge quarterback. Well, how about this? 21 for 33, almost 300 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. Mark Ingram runs the ball for 85 yards and a touch. Phillip Lindsay runs for 25 in a touch. Look at all the wide receivers, and they even used the tight end. They actually used the tight end in the offense. Amendola has been there for basically just a cup of coffee. He's got five catches and a touchdown. Farrell Brown's got four catches. Brandon Cooks on five catches got over 100 yards. That is something we didn't see. And one thing I've actually noticed in there, Desmond King played a good role in there as well as Christian Kirksey. I didn't expect him getting a pick. Justin Reed, not shocked. I know it is a tough grind for, well, really Urban Meyer and everybody, not for nothing. Oh, but wow, man. It was a tough grind, and there's a lot of people saying, listen, Urban Meyer, that's a fireable offense.
After one game, though, not doing that.
Obviously not, but they're just kind of like, dude, if this was like week 10, that's a fireable offense.
Yeah.
I will say, though, some of these players had great games on the Jags, although the thing that impressed me the most – the thing that impressed me the absolute most is there was one guy they kept shut down the entire game, and that was James Robinson. If you are a James Robinson fantasy owner, you were throwing things at the wall then. You expected 100 yards plus from that guy. And if you are in a PPR format league, he did not do enough for you. Not for a guy who's going in your second or third round pick.
Definitely not. The leading rusher for the Jags was Carlos Hyde with 44 yards. Yeah, exactly. We all remember Carlos Hyde ran for 1,000 yards in Houston just a few years ago. Alas, he has fallen in this one. You look at Trevor Lawrence, he ended up with 332 passing yards, three touchdowns, three interceptions. Of course, one of those touchdowns was at the very end. So take that for what you will. I know that this is week one and everybody's going to overreact to everything. I definitely wouldn't throw in the towel on Trevor Lawrence if I'm a Jags fan, just because Peyton Manning had 28 interceptions his rookie year. He turned out just fine.
Fine, beyond fine.
Well, that's kind of the joke. He turned out pretty good, you know?
You know,
but anyways,
remember,
yeah, I got to give major props to Tyrod Taylor here. Like you mentioned, he had a great line, and he was efficient, you know, and that's really all he has to be. But The biggest overreaction here has to come from Mark Ingram, who said that he thinks that the Texans could win a lot of games and be a championship team. I'm like, not tracking with you on that one.
Dude, I'm pretty sure he's
just trying to motivate himself and hype himself up. And
You keep that in the locker room. Shut up. Don't say that too loud.
Yeah. That's a little much. Although you have to realize most NFL teams, they have this common mentality of why not us? Well, there could be any host of reasons why. It's just rhetorical. So don't at me about that one.
Hey, what? You know, it's actually funny, though, because, well, the thing is, if you lose, and by that I mean you're a garbage team, like Washington a couple years ago, it's like, you know, the record doesn't determine that the culture is damn good here. Nobody cares. You won 2-3 games all year. You know what I mean?
That franchise and culture that just, like, scrambles my brain that those two things don't go together.
Speaking of which, a lot of empty seats. Is it because of the sewage that was in that place dripping down in the stands? Or, well, I do have my sources from my Uncle Tim, but that would be for another time. As far as this team, though, I ended up watching a game over a lot of other games. And let me tell you something, David Culley, if he's calling the plays, great job. As far as utility, as far as using the positions, as far as mixing up guys, offensively and defensively, well done. Heavily exceeded all my expectations. I did not expect Tyrod to do great. I thought him to be just okay. I thought James Robinson was going to stomp all over everybody like stairs. That did not happen. And I did not think, however you think of Trevor Lawrence, and I did say that the best function of the Texans is the defensive backs. I did not expect that team to get 3 picks on Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, it's might come down to the play calling for the Jags. As Urban Meyer will learn, this is a quarterback's league, and you're pretty much as good as your injury report. It's the unfortunate reality of the NFL. Remember that when he was at Ohio State, he won a national championship with a third-string quarterback. Cardale Jones was a third-string quarterback in camp, and yet they still won a national title with him. I don't think that'll ever happen in the NFL. We've seen some backup quarterbacks do it. We saw Nick Foles do it with the Eagles a few years ago, and we saw Jeff Hostetler do it with the Giants back in 1990. I can't think of any other times that's happened, but the point of all this is injuries, particularly at the quarterback position, pretty much are going to determine how your season goes. Ask the Niners last year. That's just kind of the way it is.
Also, I will say this. Jimmy G, have you noticed that on the odd years he's done well, and the even years he's just been hurt and just, you know, done crappy?
Yeah, you've made that point before. It's interesting, but also a little bit beside the point here. The point of all this is, while some people acted shocked that the Texans won on Sunday, yes, I really don't think this is very shocking at all. You have to look at all the things that the Jags were having to overcome heading into this game. And the Texans, for all the struggles and for all the drama, they had a bunch of guys who were at least familiar with how the NFL worked and a bunch of guys that are out to show that they still can play, like Lindsey, Ingram, Taylor, et cetera, et cetera. Guy we haven't talked about yet, Brandon Cooks. 5 catches, 132 yards, had a 52-yard reception. I was afraid that this guy wouldn't be able to make big plays. He's proved me wrong. He can do it.
As far as surprise, I was, and I'll just put it to you this way. Is this offensive line good?
It has some potential. I don't think it's going to be top of the line by any means, but it can be serviceable.
So average or subpar? What would be the word you would use?
I would say average across the board. Obviously, you got some guys that are going to be a little bit better than others. Obviously, you'd expect more out of Tunzel and Howard, since Howard was a first-round pick and all that. Okay, Justin Britt, you really got to hold out that he can stay healthy. I think he can be solid if he does stay healthy, but it's been a big if for him over the course of his career.
Okay, so you think the offensive line is average?
Yes.
Okay. A top five quarterback is not active. Do you like the rush defense on this team?
The rush defense, I'm not sure how we're getting there, but I mean, we're going to have to see a little bit more out of that. I mean, I'd been saying it all offseason, Lovie Smith would at least make things not awful. I didn't know if he had the personnel to really become a good defense, especially not this year, but I at least knew you would not have guys just, you know, getting pushed around. Like, guys would be there, they would compete. We all knew that was going to happen. And, you know, how that works against Jacksonville might be a little different, because we look at Cleveland's offensive line coming up this week. That's a whole nother step up right there.
I guess the main thing I was trying to get at, right, is regardless of everything, right, there's two things that I've noticed. In that game, right, from start to finish, the Jags just got simply outcoached. And even though the Texans may lack the star power, despite everything of things being average, troubles, concerns, at the end of the day, between all the star power and the early, you know, draft picks, a lot of the hype and a very high potential of this team, they almost scored 40 points. The fact that you got 37, it doesn't matter who you play against, that is no easy task. They did it. So, as far as right now, respected head coach David Culley and respect to defensive coordinator Lovie Smith, and it's a good thing that Lovie is back in the game. The man was disrespected, and I thought it was a good hire from the beginning. So I think that this next week it's going to be a lot tougher. You got two good running backs instead of just one. You have good wide receivers that have been proven, even though Odell is hurt. And as much as people like to talk down on Baker Mayfield, this team is something. And as far as the offensive line goes for week two, Clowney and Garrett are going to push them to the limit. We shall see what happens. It doesn't matter who's back there. It doesn't matter if it's Deshaun or Tyrod. I don't want to be the quarterback trying to stare down Garrett and Clowney. Not me.
Definitely not. You mentioned Odell Beckham. He's actually going to be out this Sunday.
Yep.
Which leaves with Jarvis Landry, Anthony Schwartz, the surprise from the week one game against the Chiefs, and actually David Njoku, the tight end, led the Browns with 76 receiving yards. Baker Mayfield threw for 321 yards, though he actually didn't have a touchdown pass. Nick Chubb found the end zone twice when Kareem Hunt found it once.
Mm-hmm.
So the Browns actually had a 10-point lead in this game, I believe, and then Patrick Mahomes came back and took it away.
The comeback kid.
Right. Well, let me take that back. It was a 12-point lead. It was 22-10 at halftime. And then the Chiefs scored 10 straight to make it 22-20. The Browns answered with a touchdown. And then the Chiefs got two more touchdowns in the fourth, 14 unanswered points to close the game. Point of all that is, the Browns still look like they're going to be a good team. I was thinking for a long time this offseason that the Browns could potentially be a letdown this coming year, just because we've seen it a lot of times where teams have a breakout year and then they just sink back down to average. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like in 2016, you had the Raiders who jumped up to 12-4, and then the next year they were down to 6-10. 2017, you had Jacksonville go to the AFC Championship game, and they've just cratered ever since then. And, I mean, it's the Browns, so you basically think anything that can go wrong will go wrong with that franchise. But now, it looks like Stefanski might be the guy who will keep that team going. They certainly showed a lot of fight in this game, and yeah, despite blowing a lead, this does seem like a game that you could have taken a moral victory from if you're a Browns fan, although there's no category in the standings for moral victories, unfortunately. The point is, you don't feel terrible losing to the Chiefs in Arrowhead, particularly like that, you know, and no. You're competitive in the game, so that's what it boils down to. Bottom line here is this Browns team is immensely talented.
Very. And let's also not forget how many years in a row this franchise, particularly even the last decade, even under the Baker Mayfield regime, his time, even then, this team for so many years have started the season 0-1.
I think the last time they won in week one was 2003 or 2004. It's exactly. Crazy.
But let's not forget what happened a decade and a half ago. I don't think Cleveland fans want to. And listen, I will say this. I've bumped into a lot of Cleveland sports fans, and it goes by sport, but there's a lot of them that are like the general Cleveland fan. They are salty. They are.
Hmm. Well, here's some more stats for you from Sunday. The Chiefs ran for 73 yards on 23 carries. That's an average of 3.2 yards per carry. Clyde Edwards-Helaire only had 43 yards, only averaged about 3 yards per run. In the end, it was Patrick Mahomes who won the day. Shocking, I know. 3 touchdown passes, 337 yards. Obviously, you're going to have a much different style of offense than what the Chiefs have coming into this game. The Texans are the ground and pound style, where the Chiefs are just the dynamic, throw the ball all over the yard type of team.
Well, also, let's just also not forget that the Chiefs team, last year they've been more air heavy. 2 years prior, they had a better line and they're able to run the ball freely. They've always had good running backs, and for me, what I think the issue is personally, and this isn't a jab by any means, but I'm not sold on Clyde. I'm just not.
Well, you're definitely sold on Tyreek Hill, though, who had 11 catches for 197 yards and a 75-yard catch. I don't think there was much debate about that. We all knew he was
the only thing that's debatable big play guy. Is that for a guy that had almost 200 receiving yards, he did not get a lot of recognition for it. Like, that's the quietest I've seen a wide receiver get almost 200 yards.
Yeah, it is rather interesting. You mentioned Jadeveon Clowney. More than just being a great pass rusher, he is also a really good run defender. And
good tackle.
I know it's still early in the season. I think the Browns' run defense will be better than it was last year.
Yes.
We're just going to look 1 second. We all know that the Browns' pass defense last year was below average. I think they were 22nd. In the league in passing yards allowed, but if you look at run defense, Browns were actually ninth in the league last season. That's a little higher than I was expecting. I thought they would be somewhere around the middle of the pack, but not top 10. But yeah, they only allowed 108 rushing yards per game last year. It's going to be tougher this coming week for this Texans offense, particularly when you look at Jacksonville, who gave up over 150 yards on the ground last year. This week is going to tell us a lot. I'm not expecting a victory this week. I'm just really not. Biggest thing is Texans can't let the Browns jump on them early. If we get into a position where we have to play catch-up, Tyrod and Cooks, that's not going to be enough, in my opinion. We got to have some ball control. Like Bill Parcells said, shorten the game. I love integrating Bill Parcells' sayings into this show. Brings me joy.
But at the same time, that's one of the more respectable coaches in history. That's not us saying Herman Edwards. This is Parcells here. It's very respectable. Although, I'm actually very happy because one thing I actually said is, who's going to be the new target in this system? And if you go by the receiving yards, yes, Cooks is great. But also, for a guy that's only had a cup of coffee in the system, Danny Amendola stepped up. Farrell Brown stepped up. I think you're going to have more dynamic offense to show up for it, because the Browns have one or two guys in the secondary, the pass rush, and the weaknesses over the middle. If David Culley can figure out the weakness, and he would know this being a wide receivers coach, at least hopefully, we will see what goes on. I think it's going to come down to play calling and the defense. Now, do I expect to win in this? I do not. But if I had to get a final score here, 30-21 in favor of the Browns.
That's close to what I was thinking. I was thinking Cleveland 27-17. I think it's going to be fairly tight most of the game. Texans are going to give it the best that they have, but like I've been saying, this Browns team is just too good, in my opinion. I know last year it was a really tight, it was a 10-7 game. And last year's Browns actually had a negative point differential, but yet ended up 11-5. That was another reason I thought maybe the Browns dip this coming year, but I think one thing we learned for sure from week one is that the Texans are not going to be a pushover this year. They're not going to give it to you. You might still beat them, but you're going to have to earn it. And that's about all we can really ask for at this point.
Seemingly so.
Our expectations are not high. We know that this is not our year. We're not going to win a ton of games, but don't be an absolute embarrassment.
I mean, the fact that this team was voted for, like, there was a big bet to see if this team would go winless, which that's not the case anymore. There's a lot of people that lost money already. So you might as well just shut everybody up. You got the opportunity now. You start one foot in front of the other. You just keep that momentum going. That's really it. I mean, it's there. It's there.
So, looking at this, I would have to say, if the Texans pull an upset on Sunday, what would have to happen is have to hold the ball for at least 35 minutes. And we're probably going to need at least two rushing touchdowns. And no more than two sacks given up. We can keep the pocket clean, keep the time ticking away, and limit Baker Mayfield's opportunities. I think we could be in it at the end and have a chance to pull it off. We might also need one deep shot to Cooks just to keep the Browns' defense honest.
Okay.
Do you have any final thoughts for this week?
You know, I will just say this. As far as the schedule is going, there's going to be some people that are going to say, how many games is it going to take to figure out what this team is? Now, just remember, in week three, it's Thursday Night Football hosting Carolina. And right. Then week four, we got the Bills.
Right.
So, I mean, if you look at it, it's a tough schedule next couple of days. So, I mean, some people are going to be wondering, okay, when are we going to figure this out? And based on who they're playing, you know what I mean? The Patriots week five. I think week six, because I don't think the Panthers are that good, is maybe the time where you see the good flashes against a respectable team. And, you know, we have no idea what the Colts are. So I will just say this. For the first half of this season, there are some games that are winnable after what we just saw. It goes down to not just on a talent basis, but I think it's going to go down to coaching. So is this the horrible team going on in the NFL? If you look at it on paper, yes. But clearly the coaching is what helped win. That just cut and dry to me, because everything was just not that great. Especially if you're Trevor Lawrence, things could have been a lot better.
That is true. But anyways, my final thought regarding the run game is, if you look at the Browns' defensive tackles, they aren't the biggest out there. When I mentioned Malik Jackson, Malik McDowell, they're both under 300. You have Jordan Elliott, second-year guy out of Missouri, just around 300. Andrew Billings is their really big guy at nearly 330. He's the only really big guy in their rotation, let's just put it that way. So maybe this would be a game where you just try to plow ahead and overpower your opposition. Might work against a defensive line that's built more on quickness, though I would still say that Malik Jackson's a guy to look out for. He's bounced around in recent years, going to the Jags and the Eagles, but I still think that he can cause some problems for this Texans offensive line.
I think that whole front line can. It's not the linebackers that I am afraid of for the most part. For me, it really is the pass rush, just the front four. Because if you're Tyrod Taylor, if you're one of the running backs, the least that I want in my life is to get tackled by any of those guys.
Yeah, it's certainly a hard-hitting unit. But I think we've broken this game down well enough. It's going to come down to winning the line of scrimmage, keeping that clock moving, limiting the big plays, and getting a couple of your own, if the time permits. Just because the time will arise, just got to be able to take it.
Absolutely.
All right, well, that sums it up for me. Any final thoughts?
I think we covered everything.
All right. So remember to check us out on Twitter at Texans Talk Pod. Thank you once again for listening. And on behalf of AJ Torres, I'm Josh McSwain. We'll see you next time.